Turn to the book of Psalms, 86th Psalm. I want us to start and just kind of put one verse in our mind. I want to get us started in a direction here. We're going to circle back through it, back over, and look at the psalm up to that verse, maybe a little beyond, and then use that as our topic for the evening. The verse we want to center in on is verse 11. Verse 11 says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name." This particular psalm that we have before us here is a prayer of David. The entirety of the psalm is a prayer. The verse that I've got highlighted here is probably the gist of what this thing is all about. And if we'll fast forward to Christ's day, all we have to think about with him is that he came to do the will of his Father. He came to do the will of the Father. Us, not so much. We're a mess. But Christ came to do the will of the Father. We have to be taught. We have to be taught God's way, and we have to be taught God's truth. How many of you remember Paul on the road to Damascus? Obviously you do. And the moment that he got saved, what did he say? What is it? It's exactly what he said. "What wilt thou have me to do?" Those were the first words after meeting Christ there on that road, having his life turned upside down. He said, "What wilt thou have me to do?" And then he did it. Now that's important. He did it. And as we read his life, we see that he made a habit out of doing it. Out of following the direction that the Lord would give him. That he was a doer of the word. What he was taught, he put into practice. There's a bunch of Christians tonight that are not out there in open sin, but they sure are lazy. Because there's a lot of Christians that aren't walking in the truth. That word "walking" there carries a lot of message. When we walk in the truth, when we walk in his ways, there's a ton of folks that have heard a ton of truth, but have yet to make the connection that we're to walk in that truth, that we're to conduct ourselves in that truth, that we're to proceed throughout our life, not just Sunday, Wednesday, but the preponderance of our life is to be walked and lived out in the way that is proscribed and prescribed as far as Scripture is concerned. And a big reason for that is that we don't have a fear of the Lord. We think of him as our buddy and don't have a good, healthy fear of the Lord. And that's the phrase, that's the part that I want to talk about a little bit tonight. I want to talk about this business of the fear of the Lord. In this particular prayer right here, you're going to see a term in there at least seven times. "O Lord," it says. In that particular instance, that name for God, "O Lord," there is the word Adonai. Adonai. First part of that is Savior. Savior, okay? The idea that we need to be saved is a very important idea. And in this particular psalm, David prays and recognizes him as a Savior. He calls out to him as Savior. But the second part of Adonai is that the nuance of it is that he's a Savior because he is the only one able to extend mercy. There's another piece you study, brother. There it is. Another piece of that study on mercy. He is the one able to extend mercy. It's all in the extension of Adonai. Savior, by virtue of the fact that he is able to extend mercy. He is the one able to extend mercy to us. That puts him in a different category. That ought to put him in a different light when we think about it. He's Savior, but he is the one that is able to extend mercy to those that need it. And we all need it. And he's the one that can give it. And so, this fear of the Lord, in connection with that, in this particular passage here, where it talks about this prayer, teach me your way, Adonai, Savior, one able to extend mercy. I will walk in thy truth. And then his prayer is, unite my heart to fear thy name. He's talking back to the Savior part, the one able to extend mercy. And he says, unite my heart to this truth that I might fear God. Really cool stuff that we have there. Begin at verse 1 for me. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me. For I'm poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I'm holy. O thou my God, save my thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy in all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord. See, this Adonai shows up again and again in here. Savior, one able to provide mercy. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods, there is none like unto thee, O Lord. Neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. Because our sinful natures lead us to pursue selfish pleasures instead of delighting in God, we have to choose to walk in the fear of God. There's a choice that ought to be made for us to walk in the fear of God. I think back, I was doing a little piece in chapel this morning with kids. And we've been looking at beginnings and creation and who made us and all that sort of thing. And today we carried the next step, and I wanted to get them good and lost today. Leave them with a whole bunch of sin on them so that maybe the Lord get their attention about their lostness. And so I left them at the flood as a bunch of sinners and wretched and miserable and just worthy of condemnation. And that's the best of them. And that's the best of us in here. And as I walked down through there, I was reminded about back in Genesis chapter 5, and it says in verse 22, and Enoch walked with God. Says that he walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God. Twice it makes a point of telling us that. Walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Really cool stuff there. Here's a guy that walked with God. Didn't face death. Didn't see death. And now God took him to be with him. Walking with God is an important thing. Down in chapter 6, as it starts to talk about this flood and knowing the stuff that's going on there. Take a look at verse 5. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I'll destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth. I kind of tripped across that a little bit real fast in there, but there's something very important there. He says, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created. I created him. Boy, we forget who created us. We forget where we came from. And how big a deal that is, that we were created. And not just that we were created, but there is a creator. And this is the Lord here that was the creator that looked at the creation and said, I'm done with them. I'm done with this aspect. I'm done with this age. I'm done with this right here. From the face of the earth, man, beast, creeping thing, fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. And Noah, there it is, walked with God. Noah walked with God in the middle of a perverse world. In the midst of a world that was upside down and backwards and as filthy and nasty as it could be. I can't imagine it being more filthy than it is today. But the verbiage that is used here makes me think of just a pure septic tank of values and everything else. That there was no restraint to anything that was taking place in those days. Hence the fact that only eight made it. One man and his wife and three sons and wives made it out alive. It had to be bad. Yes. But in the midst of all of that, here's a man that walked with God. He walked with him. What does Amos say? Can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together lest they be agreed? Well, here's the deal. Unfortunately, too much in this day and age, what we have is too many people trying to get God to agree with them. Huh? And God's not very much into agreeing with us. And the idea here is that when you walk with God, you've got to walk on His terms. When you walk with Him, you've got to walk in agreement with what He's walking. With the way He wants to go and the path that He wants to take. And that He gets to choose at the forks in the road. And that we go with Him and with His decision and with His way in all of that. That's how you walk with God. You walk with God whenever you agree that His way is a better way. That His way is the only way. And that He is the pioneer. He's the author. He's the finisher. He's the one that is to be trusted in all of this. And so these folks walked with God. It's the same idea that's contained in walking in the fear of the Lord. Walking in the fear of the Lord. Go back if you will. And let's take a little run through Proverbs if you will. We're going to take a little run through Proverbs. We're going to learn, if we're going to take a look at fear of the Lord, we got to go to Proverbs, right? Proverbs chapter 1. It is the thesis of the entirety of the book of Proverbs. It's talking about how you walk, how you act, how you react, how you conduct yourself in certain situations. It tells you what to do and what not to do. And what this is doing is teaching us in all of our ways. It's teaching us in all of the ways that we should go. In other words, it's teaching us how we should walk in the Lord. How we should walk with God. How we should walk in the fear of God, you see. That's the entirety of the message of Proverbs. Chapter 1, very, very famous little verse here in verse 7. And it says there, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. You remember that Proverbs is in a genre. It is wisdom literature, is what this is. There are other books that are included in wisdom literature, books like Job and Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon. These are some of the wisdom literatures here, and this wisdom literature here is actually Solomon giving advice, giving instruction to son. to a son, to a young person, to a young man, and how he should conduct himself and how his decisions should go. In other words, he's imparting wisdom to the youngster, giving him wisdom in order to be able to function in a walk with God, to be able to fear God the way that God should be feared, and to walk with him all of our days. Key verse 7, unlocks the power and purpose of the entire book of Proverbs. If we're to learn, here it is. If we're to learn, it has to begin with the fear of the Lord. If we're going to learn anything, it has to start with the fear of the Lord. That has to be an integral part of anything in the beginning of moving through, understanding what way that we need to go and how we need to walk with God. What does fear of the Lord mean? A fellow by the name of Webster says in his definition that fear is a feeling of anxiety and agitation produced by the presence or nearness of danger, evil, or pain. Now, based on that definition, fear would be the feeling we get when a rattler starts coming our way. Okay? Based on the definition that Webster gives there, it is a feeling of anxiety, agitation produced by the presence or nearness of danger, evil, or pain. That's exactly what I think of when I think of that definition. Almost stepping on a rattler and me and him going at it. And the fear that comes up. I don't know about anybody like y'all. There's people out there that play with them things. I am not in that camp. And nowhere near it. Just the idea of waking up and thinking that I heard one can cause me to break into a cold sweat. Okay? Anxiety. And those types of things. Surely that's not what Solomon had in mind. Surely that's not what Solomon has in mind when he's talking about the fear that we're supposed to have towards the Lord. Would you think that what he's trying to get out there? Well, rather than me and Webster doing the tango on this one right here, I went ahead and took out my concordance and took a look back in the old book there to see exactly what it's talking about and how that is to be carried forward. Like old Daniel, he's a good old boy. He's got me through some tight spots in my schooling and all with his definitions and such as that. But I'm just not real keen on this one and applying it in this particular situation. So off to Strong's Concordance we go. And there we find two words that are used in this same context throughout the entirety of the Old Testament there. And I looked at those and I ruminated on those and I distilled them down and I brought them forward into two words. And all of that can be brought up in two simple words. The word reverence and the word dreadful. Reverence and dreadful. That's boiling it down to what's left in the bottom of the test tube when you get through bringing it down to its solid matter. When you boil it up, that's what's left: reverence and dreadful. Reverence and dreadful. So quite simply, fearing the Lord starts with Him as Creator. It has to start with Him being the Creator and us being the created. And as I've already kind of got you thinking a little bit about that, if that doesn't fill your mind with the bigness of God and the smallness of man and the idea that He can just say, I don't want that anymore. I don't want to mess with that anymore. And it don't even take Him that long. It don't even take Him that long. He created it. He can uncreate it with a thought. We're beholden to Him. We're absolutely beholden to our Creator. With every single breath we take, with every heartbeat in our life, with every moment that we live, we are beholden to the Creator. beholden to Him for everything and anything that comes into our life. What kind of power is that? What kind of power is, I can't even imagine that kind of power. I can't imagine the power of my Creator. I can't even get far down the spectrum. I can't go down the timeline. I can't get there. I just know He's powerful. And I'm not. I'm just not. And I wouldn't be without Him. Be what? Anything. I just wouldn't be if it were not for Him. Then we add to that the idea that the Creator invites us to call Him Abba, Father. And that nuance right there adds a whole different perspective to the fear of God. Whole different thing. In the relationship that He wants to have with us. In that Father relationship. That He is the Creator. We are the created. He can do what He wants. But He desires to have a relationship as a father and a son, father and a daughter with us. Every child should know that his father can hurt him if he disobeys. Yes? Every child ought to know that. His father can hurt him if he disobeys. I had no doubt of it. Growing up, I had no doubt. I still have no doubt. I'm still a little bit scared of my dad. And he's 80 and frail. But that fear is because of who he is, not what he can do. It's the fear of in that relationship, that reverence that we have. That I have for Him. Still yet, all He has to do is mention something. I sure do need to get last time I was down there. I sure do need to get them weeds out from out around the chicken coop. So I'm afraid the snake's going to get up in there and I'm going to have to tangle with one. He just had to mention it. And guess what happened? The weeds disappeared. Miraculously. They just disappeared. Why? Because I was afraid he was going to hurt me? No, because it was something that he desired, something that he wanted, something that was needful to him. And I could provide it. And so I provided that for him because I love him and because I respect him. Not because he was going to hurt me if I didn't. And so this fear of God has to take on a deeper meaning. It has to take on a deeper relationship than this love, hate, fear, okay type of relationship. It has to go deeper than that. And we have to know raw power, all kinds of power, power everywhere for everything under every circumstances. Me, zero. Yes. Zero. And he wants me in a relationship with him. That is one of respect and reverence. And the dreadful part comes in now. And the dreadful part is that I don't want to let him down. That's dreadful. That's a dreadful thought. To let him down. To let my dad down. That's a dreadful thought. And it's also a dreadful thought to let the Lord down. When we have the ability, when we have the recognition, when we understand what His heart is and what He desires and what He wants, and yet we don't. We choose not to. We choose to look the other way, do other things, be involved in other things rather than what would please Him and make Him proud as a peacock. That's the dreadful part. It's reverence and dreadful. That we ought to have that sense of dread if we're not engaged in walking with the Lord. In doing and being as He would have us to do and to be. It ought to be dreadful in our heart, you see. Fear of the Lord then is a deep love and a reverence for God that causes a man to want to please Him above everything else. And that's why a genuine fear of the Lord is always seen in our obedience to the Word of God. A genuine fear of the Lord is always seen in our obedience to the Word of God. This is what He left us. This is our marker. This is our standard. This is His desire. This is what He wants for us, in us, and through us. And so it's about our obedience there. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13, says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate." Says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And then it kind of defines it. It says, all these things are what I'm talking about when I'm saying that. People who do not walk in line with God's Word do not fear the Lord, no matter what their lips say. That's what that says. Those that do not walk in line with God's Word do not fear the Lord, no matter what they say with their lips. Because those that fear the Lord hate evil. Those that fear the Lord understand that pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward, oily, sideways mouth, those are things that the Lord hates. So when we fear Him, there's a bit of dread at what His wrath can do, and yet He's our Father, and our love and respect for Him keeps us on track. Oswald Chambers, an old preacher from many moons ago, said this. He said, now according to Proverbs, the fear of the Lord will produce the remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Amen. Whereas if you do not fear God, you fear everything else. Amen. And I find that to be just remarkably on point with what the teaching of the fear of God is about. When you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas if you do not fear God, you fear everything. Fear the Lord. Let me take you down through several scriptures here and show you some of the good things that fear of the Lord will bring to you in your life. Okay? From chapter 1 in verse 7, we move over to chapter 9 in verse 10. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. 15th chapter, 33rd verse. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. When we're talking about the fear of the Lord, all we have to really boil that down to start with getting the benefit of it, is the idea that it's all about Him. Okay? It's all about Him. And any time that we make anything about anything other than Him, then we are waning in our understanding of the fear of the Lord. Okay? Because He says that everything is about Him. It starts with Him. Fearing Him, being in that part of that instruction and teaching us our ways and understanding what wisdom and all these things are. Listen, wisdom, when you get into like the book of Proverbs here, is talking about scenarios where you fear the Lord or you don't. And wisdom is just basically seeing things the way God sees things. That's just a simple definition of it. To see things the way the Lord sees things. We want to see things the way we want to see things, and we want to add nuances and put our spin on things. But when we have wisdom, and people have wisdom, and you go to them and ask them about scenarios or whatever else, what they're going to do is go through the Word of God, and they're going to give you what God says about that particular issue rather than what they think about that particular issue, you see. Because that's wisdom. That is wise. And that's what wise counsel is. It's not what you think or what you believe. It's what the Lord says and what the Lord thinks about those particular issues that needs to be passed on. Okay? So that's the benefit. The benefit of this is that we have an instruction method, and that instruction method is the Word of God. Also, another benefit of the fear of the Lord is that it will motivate us. Having a good, healthy fear of the Lord will motivate us towards holiness. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 3. Holiness is one of them old-fashioned, old-timey words that a lot of people don't want to talk about anymore. It's the same kind of word as consecration, being separated. Talking about separation from the world, consecration and holiness and those types of things. Many times those get lumped into the camp of, oh, that's legalism. Legalism that we, and so we don't want to get over into that area there. That can cause us not to be in the grace camp anymore if we get over into this consecration, holiness area with things. Well, we have a holy God, and He is very consecrated, okay? And so He expects of us to continue that legacy, to continue the legacy of our Father, to be separated from the things of this world, to not let the world get in us. We have to operate in it, but we don't need it in us. It's one of the reasons that we have the teaching that Jesus had about washing of the feet, to get some of that mess off of us as we walk through this world. That foot washing is important. We're going to pick up the grit and grime and stuff that is out here, but we don't have to leave it on there. And so that not leaving that mess on us and around us and to taint us is to remove that, is that process of holiness, that process of consecration, you see, as we move through this life. So it motivates us to holiness. Proverbs chapter 3 and looking at verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. You can couple that or marry that up with Proverbs 16. In verse 6. And says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. There's a departure that he talks about there. Departure in both of these areas. Get away. Move away. Do not befriend. Do not be coupled with. Depart from the evil, he says. This is holiness. This is consecration that he's talking about. And those that have a proper view of God, the view that we're just trying to cultivate and we're trying to talk about tonight, having a proper view of God, if you have a proper view of him, then you'll flee from evil because you know it will hurt him if we get involved in it. But again, it's that dreadful peace. That dreadful peace that says, if I stay involved in this, I'm going to hurt the Lord. I'm going to hurt my Father. I'm going to hurt Him if I continue in this way. I'm going to hurt His name. I'm going to hurt His reputation. I'm going to hurt the family name if I continue on in this way. That is a dreadful thought for a mere mortal to be able to mess up a legacy, to mess up a heritage that we have in the Lord. It's going to hurt him if I continue in it. I was thinking about that and thinking about Job. Here's how Satan said. He said, the Lord said to Satan, he said, whence comest thou? And then Satan answered the Lord. He said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said to Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in the earth? A perfect and an upright man, one that fears God and hates evil. That's a huge statement right there. That That is a huge statement from the Creator, to speak about one of His own, to speak about a creature. That is a huge statement, where He says, "Have you considered my servant Job? That there ain't nobody like him. There ain't nobody like him down there." Here's a guy that probably gets it, you see. He got it on some level there. The idea that he walked with God, and that he had bought into holiness, that he had bought into consecration, that he had bought into these things that the Lord was instructing and was teaching for him. Another benefit of the fear of God. Let's go over to Proverbs chapter 10. We have a general principle here. Don't take this one right here and name it and claim it kind of a thing, but this is a general principle. I want you to understand that. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 27 says, "The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened." Some smart somebody figured up that approximately 60% of human illness can be attributed to self-inflicted pain. Fears, sorrows, guilt, hatred, alcohol, tobacco, immorality, substances, all of these things. Somebody said, figured up that 60% of human illness can be attributed to self-inflicted problems. All of those have consequences. All of those things have consequences. Emotions and all of these different things, if improperly executed, if allowed to run on improperly in our life, can have a detrimental effect on our health, as can substances and all kinds of things that we put into this temple that God has made for us. Conversely, a life lived in obedience to the Word will result in a better existence. Christians fare better than the world with regard to this timing matter, to this health issue. There's a general principle that's in play here, that when you take care of things the way the Lord wants you to take care of things, it will go better for you. Okay? It goes better for you than it would otherwise. And so it's a general principle that's in rule. It's not one of those that we grab onto and say, "I'm claiming that one for me right there. That's my own personal promise from the hands of God that my life's going to be prolonged because I just believe it will." A general principle that's in play. And you can work it out scientifically all you want to. Faith works in all of these things. So there we have it. I'll just throw that to you as a benefit. Another benefit, Proverbs chapter 14, benefit of the fear of God, fear of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 14, taking a look at verse 26. "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge." Security. Security is a benefit of the fear of the Lord. Walking with the Lord gives us confidence in the midst of even turmoil. Or what was the term you used, Jerry? I can't remember what you said about life. How some term you used there a while ago about everything being messed up. Yeah, I know. You used the term, and I can't remember the exact term you used, but it's the same thing as turmoil. Okay. The same business with turmoil here. Walking with the Lord gives us confidence even in the middle of turmoil. And just as I've already mentioned with the disciples, will you go away? Where in the world would I go? I got no other place to go. This is it. I'm in. I got no other choice. I got nothing else. Where would I go? Where am I going to get some help? You're the helper. There's security. There's security in fearing the Lord and having that reverential awe for Him. and in that dreadfulness of not wanting to harm him or hurt him and all of that, we sense that our help is near. Our help is very near when trouble comes. Psalm 91 is one of my favorites when it comes to all of that. And I love the language that it gives it, because, buddy, it brings it right down to, right where the rubber meets the road sometimes when things are upside down and backwards. And he says to us in verse 1 of Psalm 91, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High." He that lives in the secret place of the Most High. This is talking about walking with God on a deep level. This is talking about someone that is tabernacling with God, that is camping out with Him, that has no separation between Him and the Almighty. He that dwells, lives, makes his habitation in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Well, there's some shade for you, huh? There's some shade on a hot day. To abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 will fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Buddy, that's a big one right there. Huh? When we think everybody's against us, when we think everything's rising up. He says 1,000 over here and 10,000 over there. They ain't going to get up in your face anymore. He'll take care of them before they can open their mouth. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord. Here it is. Because thou hast made the Lord. That's a choice. That's a decision that we have. Thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. You've made Him your dwelling place. You've been walking with the Lord. It's a conscious decision that's made. Okay? To fear the Lord. Conscious decision. To follow the precepts. To follow the prescriptions and proscriptions of the Word of God. To be obedient to Him. To live with Him. To walk with Him. To agree with Him. To make those decisions day in and day out. To be His and His alone. This is the fear of the Lord. And there's security in that. And that's the point I was trying to make there. There's another benefit to all of this. Proverbs 15:16. A lot of stuff in the Proverbs about fear of the Lord, by the way. Proverbs 15:16. He says, "Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith." Better is little with the fear of the Lord and than great treasure and trouble that comes with it, in other words. Another benefit of the fear of the Lord is it just makes life better. To have limited resources and to be in line with God is far better than to have plenty and trouble aplenty. Okay? And the whole idea that's behind this is a very simple thing. Our care is His responsibility. And when we understand that our care is His responsibility, there is a lot of pressure that comes off of a man. That our care is His responsibility, and that just simply takes the pressure off of everything when we understand that. That we fear Him and we let Him be who He is. It just makes life better when we put things in the right perspective. And that's another a benefit of the fear of the Lord. How about Proverbs 19? Proverbs 19, verse 23. "The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil." The fear of the Lord in that particular verse, what it's getting at is that it brings a measure of satisfaction. If it's enough that the Lord is our goal, is our one goal, and we don't need stuff and we don't need others to provide our satisfaction for us, if we come to the place that He is our satisfaction, then we have life, is what it's talking about. This is the stuff that life is made of. Being satisfied with the one that can provide all of these things. And not looking to people on your left or your right to provide what only God can provide in great measure, you see. If I'm waiting on Trace to be the one that satisfies me in everything, I'm going to be waiting a while, especially on Wednesdays. Huh? She can't be my satisfaction. She can't be everything. There's only one that can be, and that's the Lord. And we can be satisfied in Him. He can satisfy any longing. He can satisfy any need. He can satisfy anything missing. He can satisfy anything in our life. And that's what He wants to be. And when we get it all in right perspective, He is our satisfaction with everything. Proverbs 22 and 4. How about another benefit? By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Well, that's great. I'm going to get rich now. Wait a minute. No, it says by humility. Blew that. There won't be any of that. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. In other words, the fear of the Lord brings blessings. The fear of the Lord brings blessings into our life. John chapter 10 and verse 10 says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." He says, "But I am come that they might have, and that they might have it more abundantly." He says, "More abundantly." Fearing the Lord produces the greatest possible life any person can possibly live. The abundant life is more abundant. It is way above and beyond. And so, the fear of the Lord produces that kind of a life. When we have everything in right perspective, it produces that kind of life, an abundant life in those that are walking with the Lord. There's no better life than the life lived in the Lord. There's just a few of the benefits that we have that come from having a good, healthy fear of the Lord. So simply stated tonight, as we wrap up, simply stated, walking in the fear of the Lord is a very personal decision. Starts with a personal decision for the Lord Jesus Christ, and then it continues with a decision to walk in His ways. To have Him teach us His ways. Just as the psalmist prayed there in verse 11. Oh Lord, teach me Your ways. Teach me Your ways. Unite my heart to fear You. Help me to walk in this way. Help me to walk in the way that You teach me through Your Word. It's a very personal decision. Living a life centered having a respect towards God, a holy respect and a holy reverence, and down in the deep part of your soul, the idea of how dreadful it is. How dreadful it is to displease Him. How dreadful it is to disrespect Him. And that's what it is when we disobey. It's a disrespecting of our Father. And how dreadful that is. And if we could get a picture of that and have that be something that's out before us of a day, we could see a lot of the benefits that we just talked about as we walk with the Lord in this way. It's not hard to spot folks who fear the Lord. It's not hard to spot them. Their priorities are in plain view. You don't have to wonder what their priorities are. They're in plain view and they match up with what Scripture says. They want to be about the things of God. They want to be progressing. When you visit with folks in this way, you understand that they've spent time with God. That they have a relationship and a walk with Him. It is very obvious to spot folks that have a fear of the Lord. As well, it is very simple to spot those who don't. Very simple indeed. What we really need is we need more of Him. We need more of Him. And a good simple way to get more of Him is to get more of this in you. To get more of that Bible, get more of what His teachings are in you. So that when these things come up, we rely on Him to take us in the fork of the road that we need to take. That we're agreed with Him. That we want to walk the way that He wants to walk. And there it is. Simply put, fear of the Lord this evening. Thoughts, comments, or complaints as we wrap up? Yes, sir? Yeah. Amen. I would say so. And the idea that, and then there's, you just keep adding a few in there. Add O Enoch in there and add Elijah in there because they had something special that was going on with them. Oh, Caleb, he was another one that walked with God. Boy, there are several of them in Scriptures that says that they walk with God. And there were some really cool things that happened in their life. And boy, you want to talk about some courageous individuals. They had no fear, it didn't seem like, of anything on this earth. And then there's others who went through seasons of that too. You know, up and down and here, there and yon. But the preponderance of their life was in the right direction. And so that's what we need to look at. Listen, I don't know about you, but I failed. I failed in a lot of things. And I am sure that I will fail again. I'm not happy about it, but there will be other failures. But here's the deal. I don't want to stop. I don't want to quit where we are today. I don't want to quit at this point right here in my life. I want to see more. I want to see what the Lord can do with things. And I trust that that's why you're here tonight, that you want to see more of what the Lord can do. I want to have more of Him today, more today than yesterday. And so how about you? I keep learning. Do you keep learning? Keep learning. Stay at it. Other thoughts? Well, we'll close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You so much, Lord, for the time that we've had today. Thank You, Lord, for the good sharing. And Lord, just the opportunity to pray and lift things up to You and understand, Lord, that You care about them. Help us to cultivate a walk with You, Lord God, that we'd be pleasing unto You. Help us to walk in the way that You would have us to go. Help us to agree with You. And Lord, not make excuses. Help us just to be the sons and the daughters that You would that You designed us and made us to be. Now, Father, help us and use us as we move out of this place and out into the world where we can be a witness. Help us to be so, for we pray it in Jesus' name and amen.